music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly, and this week we kick off the show with our music editor, Sharon Hyland, talking about Jennifer Lopez's new documentary that she has released, which focuses on all the work she and her team have put in to produce her new musical film called This Is Me Now, A Love Story. We then dip into our vintage vault, chatting with Canadian recording artist and songwriter Fifi Dobson about releasing new music for the first time in 8 years, what it was like to work with hit songwriter Linda Perry, and how Janet Jackson has influenced her style.
Like us on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show.
Always happy when we are joined by our music editor, Sharon Hyland. Hello, Sharon.
Oh, hi, Kel. How are you?
I am always magical and wanted to talk to you about, I love the shimmy shake you're doing, even though this
Thank
is
you.
Not your podcast.
Yeah. So it's people, audio. Stop moving.
Yes. You know what's always funny to me is anytime, and I'm sure you've had this, and to our audience listening right now, you'll probably get a good chuckle. So you and I have interviewed, we can't even count the amount of musicians we've had on our shows respectively. And mm-hmm. I'm sure you've noticed over the years that even though they are performers, they have sang into a microphone to record their albums. Yeah. Oftentimes they talk off mic when you interview them.
Yeah, it is a bit surprising. And you don't want, it's almost like you don't want to correct them, but at the same time, you want to tap them on the head with the microphone and say, yeah. Dunk, get closer.
And kind of like, you should know this.
What's the matter with you?
Little so anyways, things. That's cool. So we wanted to talk about this week, the Jennifer Lopez extravaganza. So she has the actual film out, her love story, mm-hmm. Which is on Prime. And then she has the behind the scenes doc, The Greatest Love Story Never Told. And so that is now out for you to watch. And I wanted to, have you watched it yet? I have not.
Not yet. I think I'm going to take it with me on vacation.
Okay, solid plan. And will you watch the like musical first and then go watch behind the scenes? Like, what's your order going to be?
I don't even know. Probably behind the scenes first.
Okay. Okay. So big news. So like she's super involved in obviously the entire musical. And I can't even imagine the amount of work that went into putting this the whole thing together. And then it's interesting to see the behind the scenes stuff. I really want to watch the behind the scenes stuff also because it delves into the reasoning why she did this musical to begin with. Mm-hmm. And obviously a huge part of that has to do with her love affair for 2 decades with Ben Affleck.
Pretty incredible.
It's crazy. And so the first thing I wanted to touch on with you is in an article that we read about the behind the scenes doc, it talked about how Ben in the behind the scenes talks about how like he didn't want when they did reunite, that he didn't want his and her relationship to be streamlined on social media, to be like social media fodder. Yep. But like this is who she is in a way. I don't think she overshares, but like she's a massive artist and she shares with her fans. And I think she's very open on certain levels about that. So, it's interesting to see the two different, I guess, mindsets of two artists, because he's also an artist.
Yeah, because on some level, you'd think that for both platforms, whether it's acting or making music, both rooted in creativity, you would need or find a need or purpose your social media to benefit you. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but I think maybe for her, there's a little more at stake. There's a greater need for making that connection because you want people to see your shows. You want to, you know, show some gratitude toward the people that do support your music when they do go to your shows. So you make that connection like that. Maybe with films, you're just happy that people go and see them. Maybe that's the connection and that's enough. So maybe that's the divide. So you can see where there would be some difference. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you can see why I think even he realized it was kind of a big ask to not to say, hey, you know what? No social media, please.
And I know, too, like in some of the articles that we read again, you know, they actually delve into why they broke up in the first place mm-hmm. back in the day after, you know, Bennifer version one was out. Yeah. And it's interesting because, again, I think we'll see it more when we actually watch the doc, the behind the scenes doc. But it sounds like he decided to break up with her.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can't even imagine how that was for her, because she's so like, I think even though she does everything she does with the TV and the film and the singing, like her main, I think, driving force is love.
Yeah, you get that. Whether it's giving love, nurturing love, or getting love, there's some sort of, I imagine there's some sort of need for it from, I would even dare to draw a line to her upbringing. Maybe there's a need to sort of get that approval. But yeah, I think it's not a bad thing when it's your pursuits are rooted in love, you know, mm-hmm. whether you need it or whether you are trying to give it. I think she, whatever her circumstances that got her to this point, clearly she has managed to take the energy from whatever the source and put it in the right places, because she is legit getting it done.
Yeah, and it's crazy because just before we started doing our chit chat today, I watched a little behind the scenes thing of the behind the scenes doc and like the trailer for it. And there's a clip where, again, it'll be more explained when we watch the full thing. But I think she often thinks she hasn't lived up to whatever she thinks she needs to live up to, which is bananas considering everything she's accomplished in her career.
And she's just, it's just ongoing. It's a state of, continuous momentum. But she doesn't, anytime I see her, she doesn't ever seem stressed about it. You mm-hmm. know, like it's totally there for, like it's what she's supposed to be doing. That's what my takeaway is.
Yeah. Do you feel, because when she did the movie Hustlers, she got nominated for a lot of things in award show season.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, like never walked away with the Oscar.
Right.
Do you, like, what are your thoughts on that? Because that did bother me, because she did a great job. And I feel like she sometimes, like, I don't know if she falls into the lump where Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise get lumped in, where it's like they do all these amazing things, but they never win the big ones.
Yeah, because I wonder if it gets to the point where you get to the Oscars and it's a little more hoity, you know, it's less about, you know, box office numbers and more about the craft of it, or and not to say that she's lacking in that regard, but for consideration, I wonder if they aim higher. Also, how many nominees are there in each category? It seems like 10 when it comes to Best Picture. So there's going to be 9 people who also deserve it, mm-hmm. or 9 films rather, and one will get it, and the others are left like, oh, well. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to really put your stock in the fact that you're nominated, because that's a big deal.
Yeah. It's interesting because I recently, did you see Taylor Swift's doc that came out several years ago? I won't even say it was before pandemic, or maybe just beginning of it. Miss Americana. Did you watch that?
I did not. Not yet.
So when I initially watched it, like, because, you know, sometimes I'm very impressed by what Taylor has managed to do, as you are with her career. Mm-hmm. But sometimes yeah. you and I also wonder, I think, like, when she wins awards and she's surprised by all of this.
Yeah.
And so it's sometimes been weird to watch. But anyways, I started rewatching it the other day, and it was interesting to see. And I guess I forgot after watching it the first time, just like her need also for approval.
Mm-hmm.
From her fans, from her family, I think, from, you know, mainly, I think, getting recognition in the industry. So, like, do you think awards really still matter for a Taylor Swift, for a Jennifer Lopez?
I wonder if they matter, or, yeah, you know what? I imagine on some level, they're not going to lose sleep, but there is some sort of qualification or just acknowledgement. Like, people need to be seen sometimes, which is funny when you think of both of them. They are quite seen.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to a level of the art of it, I guess, you know, it's because of the work. So then you're really giving credit for the work that you did, not the fans that you have, and not the zillions of other things. It's because of what you did in comparison or alongside all these other creators. So you're really, it's almost legitimizing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see anyways.
It was interesting in that Taylor Swift thing, because obviously you and I both remember, and people listening would remember this also, when Kanye West interrupted Taylor's mm-hmm. 2009 speech, you know, and
yep.
that incident, watching Miss Americana again, really did affect her. Like, how, because she thought people were booing her. at the time. And it wasn't, I guess, clear on stage if they were booing him or her. Plus, I'm thinking she was just in shock having someone interrupt your acceptance. So it felt like that was something that was a driving force for Taylor to, like, you know, keep trying to do the best things that she could possibly do. And then it was interesting because one of the years, which I was like completely blown away by, she didn't get nominated in as many Grammy categories as she normally would. And her response to her team member who told her that she didn't get nominated was, well, that's fine. I'm just going to have to write a better album. Like, I just got to do it, write a better album. And I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
Like, how is that? But they're both like, I think all super successful artists like that are ridiculously type A.
Very driven.
Yeah.
And how do you see that you would write a better album? But that's what makes art so subjective, right? Like, whatever is great to us might be okay to somebody else. And then often you go to the root, you go to the creator themselves, and they're like, nah, I just see the mistakes I made. Or I just, you know, they're not always as confident as you'd hope, or as they even come off in the finished product. So.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because that's what Jennifer Lopez said in one of the clips that I also watched in the trailer, where she's like, you know, I'm often scared, but I do it anyway.
Right. And why not? You got to push yourself.
Yeah, she definitely does. That's for sure.
And it's funny that the person that we see, you wouldn't immediately consider that they have regular people emotions like fear. Right.
Yeah, no, especially because I've told you before, I've interviewed recently one of Jennifer's choreographers, and she said watching Jennifer behind the scenes, she's just a boss lady, like, and not in a mean way. It's like she's like, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that, and she makes decisions very quickly. Well, I'll say very quickly, based off of her gut, and just doesn't seem to be wavering, like, ooh, and like asking a million people what they think. She just does it.
And you can't do that. She's got so many plates on sticks, you know, like there's no time to go, I wonder. No. And you know what? I think you get good at trusting your gut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. And final thought on Jennifer, and obviously, like, you know, this is about her relationship with Ben, but do you think they will go the stretch this time around?
I do.
Good.
I think you get to a point in your life where if it comes around again, it's for a reason.
Yeah.
And you don't have the insecurities of when you were younger, whatever the variables were, you've dealt with that stuff. And if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. It looks like it is. Like, you know, they got their own interests separate, but clearly the one that's the interest of each other or with each other seems to be thriving.
Yeah, I hope it works well too. And I forget what award show it was, but I think it was last year when they caught Ben kind of looking not happy to be at the award show. And I believe it was a music one, because I think he would obviously not have any care in the world to be there. And she basically looked like she was like, look interested.
Sit up straight.
Yeah. Which might call the shots at home. And their home, by the way, I think is like, was it $85 million? Anyway, they have a nice big mansion.
A little out of my budget, Cal.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe if you and I pool our resources. Yeah. Sharon Hyland, thank you very much for this.
Hey, thank you, Kel.
That is our music editor, Sharon Hyland. You can follow her on Instagram at the Sharon Hyland. And again, check out the podcast that we co-host together, 90s Now. And you can follow us on all our social media handles at 90s Now FM.
Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
We are super excited to welcome back Canadian multi-platinum recording artist Fifi Dobson, who's had great success with songs like Ghost and Stuttering. She's also been a songwriter for artists like Miley Cyrus and Selena Gomez, and she's released her first new music in 8 years. We're super excited to welcome her back to the show. Fifi, thanks so much for hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, how did you know now was the time to release a new single?
The new track we actually had for a minute was written back in 2012, right when Legacy came out and some of the songs. And I kind of put it on the shelf and put it in the vaults because I was kind of going through a transitional period, and I wasn't sure if I was ready to release it. And so me and my team, we kind of like went back to the old songs and were like, hey, I feel like it's time to release this one. Like, this baby needs to come out. And I just feel like the sentiment and like just, you know, yelling at the top of your lungs that you love somebody. I think it's very important right now, and just feeling positive and dancing and feeling just pure love. really.
Were you surprised at the success of it? Because it's doing very well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super stoked. I was nervous of putting it out, clearly, because I've been sitting on it for a while. So I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful.
Is it nice to feel the love? Because like when I saw the track come in, I was like, oh, my God, she's back. Like I was just like, I was so excited to. And obviously you haven't gone anywhere, but like just to have you back was like amazing. So how does it feel like all because I see the social media love.
Yeah, it feels great to be back, you know, to reconnect. And especially when we start doing shows, it's going to be amazing because that's when I really get to be around people and really let loose, so I say. And I just love the energy of live shows. So I'm happy to be back and be doing my thing and finally releasing music and kind of getting my story out there and where I've been and just being back on the scene. It's pretty exciting.
And you mentioned that you were like a bit nervous about releasing new music. Like, was it anxiety producing, like where you didn't release it for a while to get yourself, like, did you have to get yourself like amped up to be like, okay, I'm doing it?
I mean, I have a really good team who's been by my side from the very beginning, and we decided to work together again. And so, yeah, no, I do get nervous, but having great people in my corner is really what helped that whole situation, having great people in my corner.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you were doing while you were away from the Canadian music scene?
Yeah, I mean, I actually wrote other albums. I was writing for other people, but I was also playing around with different genres. I went in and kind of did like a little psychedelic surf rock album that I actually never put out, but I did release a song called Save Me From LA from it, which was just kind of independent and just kind of playing with like sounds and stuff that I wouldn't usually play with if I was just doing like a Fifi Dobson project, quote unquote. So yeah, I got to just experiment a little bit. And also I got married and I just, you know, got to live in that a little bit, moved to Nashville and full time and just got to grow, honestly.
What's that like? Are you still in Nashville now?
I am.
And so, yeah, I hear just such great things about it. And I hear like a lot of Canadians end up there as opposed to just heading to Los Angeles. So what's the best part about living in Nashville?
I feel like Nashville has a community that's really, really cool and genuine. And, you know, everybody's super talented out there, but it's just, it's very, it's, there's a lot of depth and I really like it. Plus the food's amazing. Vintage is awesome and people are really cool. So I love it out there.
Joining us on the show is the amazing Fifi Dobson. Don't forget to follow her on social media at I Am Fifi Music. Talk to us about how you got to work with one of the most prolific songwriters and even rock stars in her own right in the last 25 years, Ms. Linda Perry. Like, how did that happen?
It's a really funny and unique story. I was actually on vacation in the middle of the mountains with my husband and the kids and and I get this random email and it was like looking for Fifi Dobson or something like that, searching for Fifi Dobson, and at the bottom it said Linda Perry, and I was like, aha, am I being punked? This is hilarious. So I responded because I just had to see, and I was like, yes, is this really Linda Perry? Like, it's such an honor. And she was like, yeah, call me. And I never met her before. We had never crossed paths, but she was like, call me, here's my number. So I went out in the mountains, like phone up, trying to get reception, like, hello. Like, I was in the middle of baking cookies for everybody. And all of a sudden I'm on the phone with Linda Perry, and she had this track for the HBO Max film Unpregnant. And she sent it to me and I was like, hell yeah, like I'm in, let's do it. So that's how it happened. Then I flew to LA and recorded the song, and yeah, the rest was history.
So are you guys like buds now?
I mean, there's been some text messages. I mean, she's awesome. Like, she's a legend.
Yeah, she's, I still, when you look at her list of like writing for Pink and Gwen Stefani and Christina Aguilera, like it's just, it's unbelievable. She's amazing. I know that early on in the pandemic, I wanted to bring this up, that you teamed up with Tyler Shaw and, you know, helped put together the artist with the Lean On Me song. You know, Avril was in that, Justin Bieber, Bryan Adams, like it was such an amazing thing. And I know that over $200,000 was raised for COVID relief efforts here in Canada. How did you and Tyler come together to make this happen? And what is the biggest thing that you took away from that experience?
Well, during COVID, like the middle of the pandemic, there were a lot of things I had to learn as an artist and kind of restart. And there were a lot of positives with that because I had to learn how to record myself, and I bought like equipment and really learned Ableton Live, and I'm really submerged myself in the creative process, which I probably wouldn't have done. I probably would have later on, but I really was pushed to do it. And, which gave us this idea, which was, you know, Tyler Shaw, Danny Reiner, they came to me and they're like, we have an idea. And I said, yeah, let's do it. And we just called artists that we knew and got like John Levine a part of it, who produced it. And then Dan Cantor, who's Justin Bieber's MD. And then he got Justin. And like, we just kind of like teamed up together and just brought as many great Canadians as possible. And we thought, you know what, everyone can record remotely at this point. And why not? Like, we did a wave and flag back in the day. You know, I was a part of that years ago. And that was a different situation because we could be in the studio with everybody. And we were like, you know, that was possible, but it's a different world right now. And we need to come together and do what's best for our country and use our voices. And so we've raised a lot of money for Canadian Red Cross, and we're super proud of the project. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing to see everyone come together in Canada. It was awesome. And we had people like recording, like I think Brian Adams recorded his part in London, England. And, you know, some people were recording on their cell phones, didn't have the equipment. We're like, that's fine. But when we got all the different like voice notes and like recordings, it was a nightmare, of course, because everybody's like, sonically, it sounded so different, but we had a really great mixer and we mixed the heck out of it and made it work.
Well, congratulations. It was, it's just an honor to even talk to you about it because I think you guys did just such a great job. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was a really cool project.
I wanted to ask you too about social media. Obviously I follow you and then I've been like super trolling you the last several days getting ready for our interview. Do you find social media like a gift or a burden?
Depending. I mean, what I like about social media is that we can narrate our story and you know, we're the narrator, so we can create what we want people to know about us and see. But the tough part about it is, what, you know, people, it's dangerous. It can be very dangerous. It can affect you mentally, emotionally, and you have to be very careful with, protecting yourself that way and your energy and your mojo, you know?
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to ask you, you know, now that the single's out, are there other things that you can let us know that's coming? Like, is a full album on the way? Like,
Yeah. We actually are putting finishing touches. We're writing a couple more songs and stuff like that. But in general, yes, there's definitely a full length coming.
Amazing. I just had a couple more questions for you. I call it Fast Facts with Fifi Dobson. So can you, if you could switch places with any artist or producer for a day, who would it be and why?
Slash.
Amazing.
That'd be fun.
That's cool.
It'd be interesting.
That would be interesting. That's for sure. How important is fashion and style for Fifi Dobson?
They're very important. I feel like music and fashion go together. They're just like a perfect marriage. And I've always looked up to a lot of artists growing up over the years, you know, from like Slash, like Guns N' Roses and, to Joan Jett, Sid Vicious, Tina Turner, Janet Jackson, you know, so I've pulled from so many people over the years. And I think it's a way to express yourself, you know, like the way I dress, I'm in leather jackets a lot or leather pants or whatever. It's just the way I feel good in that, you know, like that's like my second skin in a lot of ways.
That's amazing. I totally understand that. It probably helps you too when you're on stage, like you bring the whole deal, right? Like the, like all of you gets to go do that with your fashion sense, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Most definitely.
Who's the coolest person in your phone apart from your family and friends?
Coolest person in my phone.
Is it Linda Perry?
I mean, she's really cool on my phone. So let's say, yeah.
That's cool. Is there a song right now on pop radio in the last like 6 months to a year that you wish you had written?
Yeah. I don't know that this is funny. I don't know the exact title, but Lose You to Love Me. Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. From Selena Gomez. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love you, yeah. I'd love you to leave me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
that's cool.
I love that song. I think it's brilliant and so beautiful.
Amazing. And can you finish this sentence for me? The best thing about Montreal is?
Everything.
Yay.
Poutine. Everything. The fashion. The people. I can't have one answer to that. There's so many amazing things about Montreal.
Are you excited to be back, like performing tonight, like on stage and just in Montreal?
Heck yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a fun show. Are you coming?
I'm going to try to be there. That's the,
okay.
That's
okay. The plan. Cool. Well, if I see you, that's awesome.
I'll wear my Janet t-shirt.
So yeah.
It'll spot me in the crowd. And last amazing question, what message do you have for your Montreal fans?
Thank you so much for the support over the years. And I can't wait to see y'all dance. And I was going to swear about the single. I'm not sure you can swear on this, but
not on this station.
Yeah, I can't wait to see y'all dance to the new single. And yeah, love y'all.
Perfect. Fifi, as always, it's just a pleasure to hang out with you and chat. So thank you so much for making time for us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
That is the amazingly talented Fifi Dobson. Don't forget to follow her on social media at I Am Fifi Music.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
There you have it. Another edition of the Kelly Alexander Show. And a big thank you to you for spending time with us on the program this week. Also, a big shout out to our guests, Fifi Dobson and Sharon Hyland. My thanks, of course, to our super producer, Andrew Sabino, for doing such a wonderful job putting the show together. And don't forget that you can find us on all the major podcast platforms. And we always appreciate when you can leave us a review. And of course, grab all of our social media handles by hitting up our website, kellyalexandershow.com. Have a great week. You and I will chat soon.
The Kelly Alexander Show.